pick up in our study on the qualifications to be a bishop. And we are looking this week at the bishop needs to be a lover of good men. So we're here in Titus chapter 1. We'll pick up in verse 5. Titus chapter 1, verse 5. Paul tells Titus, he says, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers." It says there in verse 8, he's to be a lover of good men. He has to be these things. A bishop must be. And then it goes on through this list. A lover of good men. So what does it mean to be a lover of good men? Let's pray. Father, we come before you, Lord, ask you to help us to love people. Lord, Brother Francisco, the memory verse he said, if he brought out and spoke on charity. And we can have all these things. We could have the gift of prophecy. And if we don't have charity, we're nothing. God, help us to have charity, to be a lover of good men. Teach us how to do it. Teach us to be it. Lord, all these qualifications we've looked at, I pray that we would seek to exemplify them in our lives. God, help us, please. Thank you for loving us, for giving us eternal life through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ on the cross. Thank you for that immense love you showed to us, Lord. Help us to live in that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're told to be a lover of good men. That's a good idea for somebody that's going to be a preacher. That's your business is people. I mean, it is. That's what you're dealing with. You're dealing with people. You need to be a lover of good men. And we'll get into really what it means. But there's an element of discernment with that as well. Who's a good man? As I show this love, we need to understand that as well. So a man that loves good men is will willingly give to help and bless those men. Somebody that loves good men is will willingly give to help and bless those men. So again, as we think of love, I think the better and more descriptive word of it is charity. Because what do you think of when you think of charity? You're giving. You're giving. And I'm telling you, it fits, you know, 1 Corinthians 13 fits perfectly with John 3:16. For God so loved the world that what did he do? That he gave. He gave. So a lover of good men is going to be willing to give to help and bless those men. 1 Samuel 18:1 says, "And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul." Now what did Jonathan do for David? He gave him advice. He told him, "Here's what my dad's planning. Here's what my dad's thinking. Don't go this way. Go this way. Don't do this." He gave to him. Why? What was special about them? The soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Because he loved him, he was willing to give to him. If we love somebody, we will be willing to give to them. If you are unwilling to give to somebody in their hour of need, you don't love them. I'm not talking about you don't have the ability to give. I'm talking about if you're unwilling to give, then you do not love that person. And I'm not saying just because somebody gives means they love somebody either. But that's a check in our own hearts that if I'm willing to give to this person, it's a pretty good idea I love them. 1 Kings 5:1 says, "And Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants unto Solomon, for he had heard that they had anointed him king in the room of his father, for Hiram was ever a lover of David. So this King Hiram of Tyre hears that Solomon's taken the place of David, and Hiram was a lover of David. He loved David. Now, 2 Samuel 5:11 says, "And Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David and cedar trees and carpenters and masons, and they built David an house." So because Hiram loved David, he was a lover of David, he hears David's building this house. So what does he do? He sends him cedar trees, carpenters, masons, and they built David an house. David, a house for David. This man that loved him heard about it, and he said, "You know what I can give to him? I'm not just going to give the wood. I'm going to send the carpenters too, and I'm going to send the masons." Why? Because I can, because I want to show my friend that I love him. See, if we're a lover of good men, we'll willingly give to help and bless those. In small ways, give a compliment. Give a compliment. Thank someone. Give them money if they need it. Give them food if they need it. I love this church. I think this describes this church. I really do believe that. And some of you, can I say this too? I'm talking to members of this body. Okay, if you are in financial troubles, come to us. We will do what we can to help you. I mean, we'll take a special offering. I mean, we'll do what's needed. And I've seen this church pull through for people more than once, a lot of times actually. So don't feel like, well, I don't want to be a burden and I don't want to be like some, you know, welfare mentality. No one in here is like that. But if you need something, we'll do what we can to help. And usually the people we've helped, they didn't ask for it. I don't know that anyone, actually nobody that we've helped has asked for it. We've just done it because we want it to be a blessing. So if one of you hears about somebody else is having a hard time, come tell me. Maybe we can do something. Because, you know, we all don't like to be like, well, no, I'm not going to do it. And look, a lot of times it's like, I'm just going to pray about it. I'm not going to tell anyone. And so maybe they don't bring it to us, but we hear about it, and that's an answer to prayer. Did you know that? That is an answer to prayer. That person's praying, God help with this. And they didn't tell anyone, and then all of a sudden, God uses us to help. But I love that about this church. So Hiram sent to David because he loved him. But look at this. It went further than that. 1 Kings 5:8. And Hiram sent to Solomon, saying, "I have considered the things which thou sentest to me for, and I will do all thy desire concerning timber of cedar and concerning timber of fir." He did for Solomon because he loved David, to build the house of God. See, we love somebody, we'll willingly give to help and bless them. That, by the way, excludes jealousy. That's going to exclude envy. Well, they've got all this other stuff better than me, but they're hurting right now. Can you help them? See, if we don't compare ourselves with ourselves, then we don't become unwise. Or we stay wise, we don't become fools. But when we compare ourselves, we become fools. So envy is removed from love. It's not there. It doesn't exist when there's love. And we ought to have a right heart when we give to somebody. Not just everyone else is giving. I guess I will too. I don't even like this person. And they got better stuff than me. I don't know why we're giving to them. Don't give. Actually give, but get your heart right. Because in true love, if we're a lover of good men, we'll willingly give. And I'm not talking about giving to you know, every person that comes in here asking for money. I mean, we've had people come in here asking for money, wanting me to like mention it to the whole congregation. I'm not doing that. I've given to them out of my pocket. Just go. You're not here. And they haven't been back, by the way. But we're to be a lover of good men. We can't help every charity case that's out there. We can't. Jesus said, "The poor you'll have with you always. They're always going to be here." He also said, "If a man doesn't work, neither should he eat." And I'm getting sick of seeing 20-something-year-olds on every street corner. I'm tired of it. I wish people would just stop giving them money. You stop giving them money, they'll stop showing up at the corner. That's another topic. You say, I thought you're supposed to be a lover of good men. Yep, a lover of good men. Good men. You're not a good man if you won't work. You're not a good man. Amen. To love good men means you will naturally care for their soul. Hebrews 13:17, it says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. See, a bishop is to be a lover of good men, and if he's a lover of good men, then he's going to watch for their soul. Yeah, that's just natural. If you love them, you're going to watch for their soul. Part of the motivation is because, hey, bishop, you're going to be giving an account to God for how you watch for men's souls, how you lead them, what you preach. Are you preaching all the counsel of God, or are you ignoring parts? And we'll get into that next time when we get into verse 9, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught. We talked about it some before, but we're really going to, I want to hit on it some more as we look at that qualification, holding fast the faithful word, not compromising from it. But look, you're going to watch for their soul. If you love them, you'll naturally do that. It won't even be a question. You're just going to do it. That means you're going to preach things that might make them mad because you're watching for their soul. You love them. You're going to tell them sometimes things they don't want to hear, but they need to hear. That's what it means. I'm telling you right now, if you're going to be a lover of good men, then look, love, charity rejoiceth not in iniquity, but in the truth. The truth. How many of us have found the truth hurts sometimes? When you realize that you have a character flaw in your own life that you didn't previously think you had, and then all of a sudden whatever circumstances bring it about, and you realize this, you have this character flaw in your life, it hurts, doesn't it? It's hurt me. When you're like, oh man, I'm like that. It feels awful. But it's for your good. Part of loving good is to hate evil in whatever form it takes. Go to Amos 5:15, please. Amos chapter 5, verse 15. Hosea, Joel, Amos. What is it next? Obadiah, Jonah, Nahum, Habakkuk, I think. Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. I always mix those ones up back there. I've memorized them 5 times and forgot them every time. I guess I didn't memorize them. I had them for a while. Amos 5. So part of loving good is to hate evil in whatever form it takes. Amos 5:15. It says, hate the evil and love the good and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. So what is to happen here? Hate the evil, love the good. If we're a lover of good men, if we love the good, we're going to hate the evil. It's that simple. Save your spot there. Go to Psalm 119. And we want verse 128. Amos said, hate the evil, love the good. So if we love the good, we'll hate the evil. We'll get back to Amos, but Psalm 119, 128. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate what? Every false way. I hate the evil way. Every false way. Remember, can we connect that to something? Evil. I hate every evil way. Every false way. We say hate the evil. That's right. The doctrine of Christ. Be not partaker of their evil deeds. I hate every false way. Hate the evil. That's strong language, isn't it? My mom taught me. She says, you don't use hate. Don't say hate. Why? She's trying to teach me something. That's strong language. Why? To hate's murder. So we don't hate. But what are we to hate? The evil. Well, what's evil? To not abide in the doctrine of Christ. It's evil deeds. And the psalmist said, I hate every false way. God's telling, through Amos, telling the people to hate the evil, love the good, and establish judgment. Establish judgment. That fits right there with the doctrine of Christ too, by the way, if you look in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. It says, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Discernment, judgment. It's the same thing. You can interchange those words right there. Judgment is to say, oh, is this good or evil? Discernment, is this good or evil? It's teaching the same thing. So that's what we're to do. Hate the evil, love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. Now, as we go through this here, looking at this, what were some of the issues that were going on in the day that he's saying, hate the evil, love the good, establish judgment? Verse 7, ye who turn judgment to wormwood and leave off righteousness in the earth. What have they done? They rejected righteous judgment. Verse 10 says, they hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. So they turn judgment to wormwood and leave off righteousness in the earth. This is speaking of those people that were at the gate, the city gate at the time. This is where judgment would take place, within the gate. People would bring their cause for concern to the gate, and this is where the public officials would stay. And what he's saying is, you are corrupting judgment. You're corrupting judgment. Verse 10 says, they hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. What? Him that gets there and says, you judges are corrupt, what you're doing is wrong, and they rebuke them in the gate. They hate that man that does that. You're taking bribes and everything else. That's what they hate. That's what they're saying. So we get to verse 15. God's telling them, hey, verse 14 even, seek good, not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as ye have spoken. Hate the evil, love the good, establish judgment in the gate. Set things back to how they should be in the gate. Establish judgment, hate evil, and love the good. That's what God is saying to do right here. That's what God wants. Hate the evil, love the good. They're going to hate the one that rebukes those doing those wicked deeds. Isn't that the same thing we see with our politicians today? That's who they're rebuking. They're rebuking politicians. Hey, what do you know? It's almost like it's in the Bible. Almost like it's in the Bible, right? Preachers need to get back to that. God's people need to get back to that. Rebuke them in the gate to establish righteous judgment. They were afflicting the just, verse 12, for I know your manifold transgression and your mighty sins. They afflict the just, they take a bribe, and they turn aside the poor in the gate from their right. So they afflict the just, they take bribes, they turn the poor from their right. What's theirs, what belongs to them. They're corrupting it, they're stealing from the poor. This is what was going on, this is what was happening. The poor were being taken advantage of. To love good men means you will love those that stand for what is good, even if we don't agree with them in every point. That means you can agree with a Democrat if they stand for something that's good. Okay, I'm trying to put it to today. You can agree with someone even if you don't agree with them in every point. Okay? Love those that stand for what is good even if we don't agree with them in every point. A good man delights in the ways of God. It's okay to love people. Look, there's different levels of love, by the way. The way I love you is different than I'll love somebody out on the street, but I still love them enough to go tell them the truth. You understand what I'm saying? There's different levels of love that we're going to give to people. So just take that as well, okay? A good man delights in the ways of God. Psalm 37:23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Steps of a good man. So see, we're getting back to be a lover of good men. Well, okay, when I look at that in Titus, yes, I think it applies to the lost as well, but I think specifically what it's speaking of is I'm to love those brethren that come here. That, like we see in Psalm 37, verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, those that are a part of the Lord's church. And I'm going to love those that come, and I'm going to love those that are lost, and those that come and maybe aren't a member of the church, but may get there. I'm going to love all of them, but I think specifically it's to talk about being a lover of good men, is those whose steps are ordered by the Lord and are a member of this church. That's really who the bishop, he's there, he's the pastor, he's the shepherd. He's there for those people. He's a gift for that church to help those people. And those are the people especially that the bishop needs to love. That's what God has put him there for. Good men are to be found on the path of righteousness. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 20. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. I mean, it's walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. So where are good men found? In the path of the righteous. That's where you find good men. Well, where would that be? Where's a place, a good place to find some righteous men? That's right, a New Testament church, the Lord's church. At the bar? No. The casino? No. There are some good men there. They just need to be taught. Good men can be identified by their deeds, Matthew 12:35. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. That's what Jesus said. A good man out of what's in his heart is going to bring forth good things. So how do you identify these good men? By the fruit of their life. Not just in a moment. And that's why sometimes we can be deceived. Okay? Judas deceived everybody. But ultimately, what did his life show? He was not a good man. He was the son of perdition. He had a lot of good things. He had a lot of fruit to show going up to that point. But ultimately, at the end, his life showed that he was not a good man. So a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But when you betrayed the Lord for money, he showed he was an evil man. The same thing applies to doctrine. You show what's in your heart if you're a good man or an evil man. And again, we have the connotation with evil means it's like the devil with a pitchfork and horns going, follow me, my pretty. You know, that's what we think of evil as. It's not. It's to not abide in the doctrine of Christ. That's evil. To have bad doctrine is evil. So as we look at that, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. He's going to bring forth good doctrine, which fits with what we're looking at in Titus next, holding fast the faithful words as he hath been taught. He's going to bring forth good things. An evil man is going to bring forth evil things. What? Corrupt doctrine. That's what he's going to bring forth. We're talking about a preacher here, a pastor. Now, this could take on all sorts of stuff as we look at it there in Matthew chapter 12, but as we're applying it to what it's teaching, the principle that it's teaching in regards to a pastor, well, his main duty is to preach sound doctrine. So he needs to preach sound doctrine. That needs to be the fruit of what he's bringing forth is sound doctrine. Good fruit, not evil fruit. To depart from sound doctrine is evil fruit. I mean, it's that plain. Does everyone see that? Does anyone not see that? I mean, I want to make it like crystal clear. I want us to understand it, to see it. Do we need to go to 2 John 9? Anybody? Because I want us to get it. Probably. Let's go there. No one's answering, so that in itself is an answer. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. Where does he love them? In the truth. In the truth. I wonder if that means he doesn't love them out of the truth. And this is John writing it. He says, the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. Now, I think this fits with what we're talking about, being a lover of good men in different levels of love. Yes, he's going to love people enough to share the gospel with them. But to have that close, strong fellowship love that we should have here, I think that's what he's talking about. Okay, the elder unto the elect lady and her children whom I love in the truth. I love you in the truth, as you're in the truth. If you're out of the truth, you're in transgression. And I can't be a partaker of your evil deeds. The psalmist, again. Go back and read it because I'm going to butcher it if I try and quote it. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. He said he hates every false way. This is John. You know, as we saw over here, Amos 5:15, hate the evil, love the good, establish judgment in the gate. Hate evil, love good. This is where John's coming from. The elder unto the elect lady and her children whom I love in the truth. And not only I, but also all they that have known the truth for the truth's sake. Five times the word truth is mentioned in 2 John. Five times. And it's all done by verse 4. So he says, it's not just I that love you in the truth, but also all they that have known the truth. Wouldn't that be us? We love those in the truth. In the truth. 2 John 9 now. Whosoever transgresseth. Again, it's so obvious to me. Transgressive, is that good or bad? It's bad. It's sin. 1 John 3:4, sin is the transgression of the law. So what they're doing is sin. Because they're transgressing, okay? It's not a good thing. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. So what are we doing? Are we establishing judgment? Hate the evil, love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. It's one or the other with God. It's not, you know, wishy-washy. It's not, well, kind of, you know, well, I love Jesus, but I, you know, go to the bar. No, it's one or the other. There's no in-between with God. Either you love sound doctrine or you don't. That's it. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Look, those that don't abide in the doctrine of Christ are bringing out evil treasure from their heart. You'd say, how can you say that about them? Because this is what the Bible says. The Bible says this. They're in transgression, and they're bringing out what's in their heart. Well, what's in their heart? That they don't esteem His precepts above all things, and they don't hate every false way. That's what they're saying. God's word isn't paramount in my life. That's what they're saying. Now, I'm not talking about those that are in ignorance. I'm talking about those that have seen it and rejected it. Okay, because we were in ignorance. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about those men of God, those preachers that have seen it and rejected it. What have they shown you? In my heart, I don't care what God's word says. God's word isn't paramount to me. I don't esteem His precepts above all things. I don't hate every false way. That's what they're doing. So an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil things. False doctrine, not abiding in the doctrine of Christ. He that abideth in the doctrine hath both the Father and the Son. Verse 10, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, the doctrine of Christ, receive him not into your house. Who's he talking to? The elder, that's John unto the elect lady and her children. Who? The church there. That's who he's talking to. Receive her not into your house. What? 1 Timothy 3:15. The church, which is the pillar and ground of the truth, the house of God. Okay? That's what he's talking about, okay? Receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Look at this, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. It's evil what they're doing. If they don't abide in the doctrine of Christ, their deeds are evil. And if you bid them Godspeed or you ask for God's blessing on their ministry, the work that they're doing for the Lord, you are a partaker of their evil deeds. That's what God says. And that's some hard truth, isn't it? Because you say, well, what about all these people that have good intentions and are trying to serve the Lord as best they can? They're in ignorance. We want to teach them, but what they're doing is evil. Well, what about what we were doing before we got right? Guess what? It was evil. Because we weren't abiding in the doctrine of Christ. You say, but we had good intentions, we had a good heart and all of it. Right, and it was evil. Or we don't believe what the Bible says. It's that simple. Let's go back to 2 John 1. The elder unto the elect lady and her children whom I love. Where? In the truth. In the truth. That's hard truth, but it's in the truth. John doesn't mince words. You say, well, we weren't like evil people committing abortions and wanting to butcher babies. Doesn't matter. God says it's evil. See, here's the problem we have is we want to judge people based on their motives and not their actions. Well, I meant to do right. Well, what would you do though? You don't get to judge someone based on their motives when their actions say something different. Again, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. That's actions. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. That's actions. So if we're going to abide in bad doctrine, that's our actions. We don't get, well, but I really meant to do this, but you didn't do it. So John says that whom I love in the truth, you weren't in the truth. I can't love that. I can't be a partaker of that. I'm against that. And not only I, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. And love. Look, we're lover of good man. Well, how do we love them? In the truth. That's how we love them. Amen. In the truth. It's this important. The bishop's job is this important. That he's a lover of good men, but those that walk in truth. Good men can be identified by their deeds. Now, with all of this, as we, again, I say there's different levels of love. I'm just going to give you what the Bible says. You're like, what, Pastor? The Bible says that I'm just going to give it to you. I don't always understand everything in it. But look, with all of this that I said, it's possible for a good man to be lost. What? Romans 5:7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. I didn't say that. God said it. Now, I think that's talking about the perspective of man. He's a good man from man's perspective. So I'll just throw that out there. But there it is. The Bible says it. Regardless, we are to love good men. And again, I think in the context of what we're looking at, it's talking about those whose steps are ordered by the Lord and are a part of a church. Not to say that a bishop's not to be a lover of hospitality. That means, let me welcome in some lost person. Let me help them. Let me teach them. But when it comes down to being a lover of good men, I believe it's talking about those of the household right here. Those that are members in particular. Those that are a part of this body. Just to be a lover of good men so we can help them. Regardless, we are to love good men because God has used good men who were lost to preserve liberty.
Yes.
He's used them. I just read you a quote by Benjamin Franklin, who's a lost man. He was used to preserve our liberties. I can love him for that. Galatians 6:10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Do good unto all men as we have opportunity, if you're able, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Especially, and that goes to being a lover of good men, as we're applying it here, looking at the bishop, those of the household of faith. A lover of good men will have a large heart towards good men that make bad decisions. Can I say that again? Amen. A lover of good men will have a large heart toward good men that make bad decisions. Because that's all of us. We've all made bad decisions. It doesn't mean you just cast someone off and you're done with them. You love them and help them get back to where they need to be. A bishop has to be able to do that. You have to have compassion. You have to be able to forgive people faster than anybody. You cannot wear your feelings on your sleeves. You cannot. Cannot. You just better understand right now, as a pastor, people are going to talk about you and your family. Get over it. Is it right? No, it's wrong and it's wicked. But get over it. It's going to happen. Guard your family from it. Guard your wife and children from it. Because they'll hold on to that stuff. It will affect them like it will not affect you. I'm not saying it doesn't affect you, but you have to be able to handle it. And it will affect them and harm them more than it will you, so protect them from it. It's going to happen. Just deal with it. You cannot wear your feelings on your sleeves. Get over it. People are going to say mean things about you, things that aren't true. Deal with it, move on, help them. How can I after they said that? If you got that attitude, you're not fit. You're not a lover of good men. Sorry, you don't qualify. You got to help them. Hurting people say some crazy things sometimes. I've never gone trapping, but you ever catch an animal in a trap? Okay? They're going to be scared, they're hurt. And they're going to lash out at you even if you're trying to just release them and help them. Okay? I can say this one time. We had a little bird fall out of our tree. And I mean, it was just a baby. I don't know if it tried to fly early or something or what. But it was just hopping around, and we saw it, so we went to help it. We were going to pick it up and try and put it back in the nest. And as we're doing that, the parents are right there. We can hear them chirping, and they get scared, and they see us getting closer to it. You know what those parents started doing? Both of them just started, like, dive-bombing our heads. I mean, they were coming at us to hit us, and we're like, you know, why? They were scared. They're attacking. Okay, that's what, when people are scared and hurt, that's what they do. So just understand it. Don't wear your feelings on your sleeves. You know, they called you ugly, says your wife dresses you funny. It's okay, just get over it. Does my wife dress me funny? Amen. Yeah, at least my socks look good. But I don't know, you should just pink shirts and all, just. Love the people and help them, because good men make bad decisions. Take heed to yourself, lest you also fall. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. In the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You can't ever get a prideful attitude saying, I can't believe they did that. Or you can think that, I can't believe they did that, but don't have a prideful attitude about it. You can say, I can't believe they did that. And it's like, man, it's disappointing. It hurts. But sorry, that bugs me when those are messed up. But don't get the attitude of like, I can't believe they did that. Man, there they are, thinking it can't happen to you, because it can. Any sin anybody falls into, so can you. So can you. And don't ever get to thinking it can't, because it easily can. You can depart from the living God from an evil heart of unbelief and go into all depths of depravity. You can. A saved person could do it. Don't think you can't, because you'll fall too. Peter denied and cursed the Lord 3 times. After he was told he was going to do it, he did it. Denying the Lord. So we're to be lover of good men. A bishop's to be a lover of good men. Can we all be a lover of good men and women? I hope you understood that's implied as I keep saying that. One of the best things for us is that we would love the brethren. We would love each other. Charity, especially toward them of the household of faith. Are we loving each other? Every one of us. Not holding a grudge against each other. Not holding bitterness. Not being envious. But loving each other. Wanting to give to help them. Can we be a lover of good, man? Let's pray. Father.